And I guess they called me the weeping prophet because God's message was so strong in my heart that as I proclaimed it, tears ran down my face. Now, another unique thing that God told me to do, which I thought was very strange, is that he told me not to take a wife. And so all the years of my ministry, I did it as a single individual, proclaiming the word of God. On one occasion, there were some men from my hometown, and they put this plot together to take my life. And you know, these were some wicked guys. These were guys that took drugs, and these were guys that cheated on their wives, and these were guys that abused their children. These were guys that took advantage of the poor. And they began to put a plot together to kill me. And when I got wind of this plot, I turned out to God. I mean, I went to the only person that I knew to go to. He was the one that called me, so I figured if I got a beef, I need to take it up with him. And so I turned to God and basically asked God two questions. I said, God, why is it that you let wicked people prosper?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of Weariness Worn Out by the Men on Foot from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Weariness Worn Out by the Men on Foot.
My name is Jeremiah. I prophesied during the dark days of Israel. It was a time in the life of God's people when they had turned from him and their hearts were far from him. I grew up in a city called Anathoth. It was a little north of Jerusalem. Actually, it was in the land of the Benjamites. And the strangest thing happened to me. God called me to preach when I was but a youth. I mean, I was still running around having fun with my friends and acquaintances. And wouldn't you know it that God called me to preach? And then he said something that was kind of strange to me. He said, Jeremiah, while you were still in your mother's womb, I had touched you. I had formed you. I had shaped you. And I had placed a call on your life to proclaim the word. And I said, no, Lord, not me. Man, that's the last thing I want to do. I've seen them other preachers, and I see what happened to them. And you know, I just can't do it. And God said, Jeremiah, I've touched your life, and that you are going to proclaim my word. And I still resisted. And I said, Lord, I'm just a youth. God, I'm just a child, and how can I stand before this nation of adults, Lord, and proclaim your word? And God did something very unusual at that time. He took his hands and he touched my lips. And when he touched my lips, this feeling came over me. And it was such a powerful anointing. As a matter of fact, it felt like a burning fire that was shut up in my bones. And even when I tried to keep silent, and even though I tried to subdue this call that was on my life, that this burning fire just was consumed in me, and I had to proclaim his word. As a matter of fact, it was very unique because I became known for two things. The first thing I became known for was being a prophet of doom, because it seemed like the message that I preached was just a gloom and doom message, and you know, Israel had fallen into sin, and God was going to judge them. And little did I realize at the time that I was actually the last prophet that would speak to the nation of Judah. Because it would have been during my time that Judah fell to the Babylonians and they came in and destroyed the temple and knocked down the wall. So I was the last preacher. So not only did I become known as a prophet of doom, but there was another unique feature about my ministry. People called me the weeping prophet. And I guess they called me the weeping prophet because God's message was so strong in my heart that as I proclaimed it, tears ran down my face. Now, another unique thing that God told me to do, which I thought was very strange, is that he told me not to take a wife. And so all the years of my ministry, I did it as a single individual, proclaiming the word of God. On one occasion, there were some men from my hometown, and they put this plot together to take my life. And you know, these were some wicked guys. These were guys that took drugs, and these were guys that cheated on their wives, and these were guys that abused their children. These were guys that took advantage of the poor. And they began to put a plot together to kill me. And when I got wind of this plot, I turned out to God. I mean, I went to the only person that I knew to go to. He was the one that called me, so I figured if I got a beef, I need to take it up with him. And so I turned to God and basically asked God two questions. I said, God, why is it that you let wicked people prosper? I mean, these guys had big chariots. They drank out of goblets. They had fine silverware. And yet and still, they were the most nefarious and evil individuals that a person could imagine. And so I asked God, I said, God, why is it that you let the wicked folk prosper? Why is it that their eyes are enlarged? Why is it, Lord, that their tables are filled? Why is it, Lord, that they wear the fine clothes? Why is it, Lord, that they seem to have all the good fortune in the world? Lord, why is it that the wicked prosper? To which I, silence. God said nothing. As I poured out my heart to him, God said nothing. So out of my frustration, I asked God another question. I said, Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? Lord, you see these folk. You see what's happening. When are you going to do something? When are you going to take care of business, God? When are you going to do something about it? And then I sat back and listened. And instead of God coming to me with his hand of comfort, instead of God coming to me with a word of hope and a word of cheer, God said to me, Jeremiah, if you have run with the men on foot and they have wore you out, what are you going to do when the horses come? And it was that day that God spoke to my heart and I learned three very important principles that Pastor Glaze is going to share with you right now. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we thank you for the prophet Jeremiah. Lord, we thank you that he was a man of God that preached the word of God. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to learn some lessons from his life today as we look at our series entitled, Let's Get Personal About Our Issues. Father, I ask that you would take your word and that you would allow the individuals that are here today to receive it in such a way that it might bring life to their souls. As we come and open your word today, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you today on weariness. Some of us are weary and we are worn out by the men on foot. That we have run with the footmen and the footmen have just exhausted us. We have run with people on foot, and they have just worn us down. Jeremiah had run with the foot soldiers, and he looked like this guy right here. He was weary, he was worn, and he was sad. And God is letting us know that in our lives, if we get weary because of little things that are going on, that we need to understand that somewhere down the road, there are horses coming. And unless we learn how to deal with these little things in life, unless we learn how to deal with the weariness that we face on a daily basis, unless we learn how to deal with that, we're going to get run over by the horses that are on the way. Let's stop for a minute. Can't you hear him? Can't you hear him? I hear a faint sound. They might not be there right now, but they're on the way. They're on the way, and they're getting closer. And so you're going to have to run with some horses one day. And if you've gotten weary and worn out by running with the men on foot, then what are the chances that you have when the horses come? God told Jeremiah if he was complaining about being worn out, running with people who were competing in the race, then what was he going to do when he ran against some Clydesdales and some thoroughbreds? That you don't have a chance. And in today's terms, we might put it like this. If you can't afford to make a payment on an old beat-up Volkswagen, how in the world can you afford a brand new 2012 car? When and maybe we can put it in terms that you understand. If you go to pieces when you get a headache, what's going to happen when the doctor tells you that you have cancer? If you freak out when you burn the dinner, what's going to happen when your house burns down? Or if you go to pieces when you lose your keys, what's going to happen when somebody hands you a pink slip on your job? See, we need to ask ourselves the question, what does it take to weary us? What does it take to, as somebody says, to get on your last nerve? And as we think about that, I know for me, you know, there are some things that weary me that I have to be careful because they'll take me down. And I mean, they're just little things, that little foot soldiers that frustrate me. And you know, I try to figure out, why is it that when I'm in line at the grocery store and I've about three or four people back and then it comes my turn, why is it that the tape runs out on the register? You know, I can't understand that. You know, that frustrates me. That's a foot soldier that frustrates me. Why is it that when I pull up to the fast food restaurant in the drive-thru, that when I go through, there's 10 cars in front of me and nobody behind me? I don't understand that. Why is it that when I go through the drive-thru bank and I sit there and I strategically meditate and I think about which line is going to move faster and I commit to one lane, and when I get in that lane, it seems like the other lane flows through and three or four people that came after me have been waited on before me? Those things frustrate me. Why is it that whenever I buy something and I go home and my wife says, you could have bought that at so-and-so for a cheaper price? Why is it that these little things frustrate me? These little foot soldiers that weary us. And God says to us, Bill, if you can't deal with those little foot soldiers in life, if you can't deal with the little things in life, how in the world are you going to be able to deal with the big things when they come along? I like the Apostle Paul. Tony Evans says that Paul was a person that learned how to deal with the foot soldiers. Paul said that they told Paul they were going to kill him. Paul said, that's cool for me to die as gain. They said, we're going to let you live. He said, that's all right, too, for me to live as Christ. He said, well, we're going to make you suffer. Paul said, well, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to me in heaven. You couldn't let him live. You couldn't kill him. You couldn't make him suffer. Paul was a person that learned how to deal with the foot soldiers. I went to see one of our members yesterday, one of the ladies who lives right around the street on Cora Street. She just had a child, and she actually stopped breathing on the when she was delivering the child. They had, as you heard the prayer request this morning, they had to do a C-section. And while she was out, She literally stopped breathing, and they called her family to let her know that that let them know that she was not responding. And so after a while, you know, I guess they got her to come back, and she woke up, and she had all type of tubes and stuff down her throat, a respirator on, and I was talking to her, and I said, "Well, how did you feel when you woke up?" She said, "Pastor, I just had so much peace, and I had so committed it to God, and just I was trusting him that they were looking around, and I could see that they had a worried look on their face, but I just knew that God was with me, and I just had the peace of God in my life." And so praise God. Praise God that we can have peace in the midst of running with the foot soldiers. Let me share with you the three things that God taught Jeremiah on that day. The first one is what I'll call the principle of failure. And that is, when you get weary from running with the footmen, that means that you have absolutely no chance in running with the horses. Now, you mark that and you write that down, that if you are having a difficult time, if you are getting weary running with foot soldiers, then when the horses come, my brother, my sister, you don't have a chance. You don't stand a chance. What is weariness? Weariness is a physical or mental or spiritual exhaustion caused by either opposition or strenuous labor without the proper restoration. That you may get some opposition, or you may even exert yourself to a certain degree, and you don't take time to restore the resources that you have exerted, then at that point, you become weary. And so there are a lot of people that are sitting here today, and you know it. You know it that you are weary, that it's weariness is upon you. Weariness has just depleted all your energy and all your resources. You know, I believe that a lot of times God lets these foot soldiers come in our lives so that we can see where we are with him. That actually it's a spirit check. God says spirit check. And so he lets these little things come into our life to aggravate us and to frustrate us, to see if we can deal with the weariness that comes upon us. Martin Luther King said the true test of a person's character is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy. That's the true test of your character. The true test of who you are and your character is how you run against the footmen of your life. And if you get worn out and you get weary from the foot soldiers in your life, that's an indication that you are not in a good place with God. I think about an example, and I always like to use this example that Beau Ford gave. He said that if you take a sponge and you dip it in water and squeeze it, then water will come out. If you take a sponge and you dip it in orange juice and you squeeze it, then orange juice will come out. If you take the child of God and you dip them in worldliness and ungodliness and in fellowship with the wrong type of people and hanging out in the wrong places, and you dip that Christian in the substances of life and you squeeze them, all that's going to come out is bitterness and anger and complaining. But if you take the child of God and you dip them in fellowship and communion with God and Bible study and devotion and singing the songs of Zion and doing the will of God, that when you dip that child into the trials of life and you squeeze them, that what's going to come out is, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let me praise his name. Let us say unto the Lord that he is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations." That when I am squeezed, the sweet spirit of the Holy Ghost will come out. That when I am squeezed, the testimony of Jesus Christ will come out. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that a rose, when it is crushed, offers off a sweet fragrance. And so when Christians are filled with the things of God and they are crushed by the problems of life, they emanate a sweet aroma. And God allows these problems to come into our life to let us know where we are with him. And he lets us know that if you can't handle these little issues in life, then you're going to have some big problems when the horses come. Now, as we look, what are some biblical identity as far as weariness is concerned. Biblical recognition of weariness. And what I want us to see now, that the Bible recognizes weariness as an issue. It is a very serious issue that people face. And if we don't deal with it, it will lead to more devastating things, as I will point out a little bit later. First of all, people of all ages become weary. Not, it's just not for older people or middle-aged people, but people of all ages become weary. Isaiah 40:30 says that even the youth shall faint and grow weary. That young people will grow weary. And our young people are growing up in a society where they are forced to be adults a whole lot younger, earlier than they should. I mean, they should be growing up and enjoying the virtues of childhood. They should be enjoying being a child. And here they grow up and at a young age and have to take on adult responsibilities. And so I believe that Isaiah knew ahead of time why he said what he said, that even the youth will grow weary. And I've never seen a day when I've seen so many weary youth, so many weary young people. You know, I know when I was growing up, man, all I thought about was playing baseball and playing games and just going and having fun. And I look at these kids today, man, and they got the weight of the world on their shoulder, and they are worn out and they are weary. And so weariness is something that affects every level of society and every age group. We see that people can become weary in doing good works. I mean, here you are doing something good, and all of a sudden you get exhausted and you want to give up. Or you can even be like Jeremiah. Do you know that preachers get weary? Do you know that preachers get weary? Jeremiah got weary. Jeremiah was like the runner who was running against a foot soldier, and he got physically exhausted because of all the problems that he was dealing with. So the Bible does paint a real picture of the fact that people can get weary. So that's the principle of failure. The principle of failure basically says, and some of you need to write this down, that if you can't handle the little problems in your life, there's no chance of handling big problems when they come your way. The second principle I believe that God was trying to teach Jeremiah is what I'll call the principle of assessment, and that is weariness from running with the footmen should cause us to assess the reason we became weary. We should assess the reason. Why did you become weary? What wore you out? And there are several things that cause us to become weary. One is labor without the proper restoration. That if you just are going, working, and you're not taking time to come before the Lord and sit in His presence, you're not taking time to rest, then guess what? You are going to be worn out. You are going to become weary. And all kind of things happen when you become weary. I've seen this in the church, that when somebody serves and they didn't get the appreciation,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Weariness, Worn Out by the Men on Foot. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Weariness, Worn Out by the Men on Foot, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Weariness, Worn Out by the Men on Foot. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Weariness, Worn Out by the Men on Foot. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.